Safety for passengers has long been a concern in Wales, even in those earliest days, when the safety of the workforce seemed not to be a preoccupation of any Rail employers. Passenger safety wasn't ignored in the same way. And I'm pleased to have this opportunity, on behalf of Rail users, to pay tribute to the work that all of you do, and thousands of railways and railway employees do with you, to convey us in safety day after day. We always have to be careful not to tempt providence, but the record of Britain's rail industry in recent years in conveying passengers safely is one truly to be admired. But I'm well aware, and I thought I caught a slight echo of you from the platform as I came in, that the job of the safety practitioner is one of constant vigilance and constant innovation. But as I said earlier, any scrutiny of the early days of rail brings a sharp reminder that health and safety issues were not gratuitously invented with the Health and Safety Act of 1974, which some of his critics seem to sometimes to assume, vital though I think that legislation was. My husband spent all the early years of his working life in heavy engineering, and the sheer physical damage such a working life can inflict is an ever-present reality, not just in our life, but that of so many, in fact probably most, of his former workmates. And it's one reason why I feel really incensed when I hear those who lack any such experience reciting prevalent myths about health and safety, including well-known myths long since investigated and disproved. There can be no doubt that as a result of such efforts, many thousands of lives have been saved and much disability and disfigurement has been averted. Of course, I'm not suggesting there aren't continuing problems and difficulties, no doubt there always will be. But an expanding railway, with more and more construction sites, poses new challenges for safety. And just because we're in the happy position of having many, many work sites, doesn't mean, of course, that there can be any less vigilance, in fact, probably more oversight. So it's quite gratifying that safety is being prioritised by people at the very top of the industry, rather than being left to employees and their trade unions to battle for it just on their own. I can't, of course, finish talking about the future of safety in the railways without mentioning HS2, HS3, and the network of very high-speed lines that now seems to be taking shape. From the safety point of view, the great advantage of high-speed rail must be the ability it gives us as a country to build completely new infrastructure to the high standards of the 21st century, rather than to keep on incrementally improving Victorian infrastructure. What I also look forward to, on both HS2 and the existing network, is the installation of the most modern signalling systems that can bring enhanced capacity and the highest standards of safety to our railways. This 200-year-old industry has experienced a variety of governance structures, of ownership, and especially levels of investment. But all the indications are that we're now entering a new and potentially exciting era for rail. But whatever the future holds, I think we can all be clear that the need and the demand for the skills and expertise represented at this conference will be enduring.